We're going to be working out of the Gospel of Matthew this morning, the 16th chapter, picking up with verse 21. Almighty God, as we open your word this morning, first I thank you that we have it in front of us, that we have it here, that we can own your words on paper, that we can pick up and take any time we want and open it and see it. So Lord, I ask your blessings, and we ask for guidance if we're being called to help. And we lift up those people who live in places where they don't have access to your word. And we thank you that this is your very word. And we lift up the churches in our community that are preaching your word this morning, bringing your word to your people so that your works might be done. And as we open it this morning, Father, teach us, may your Holy Spirit teach us this morning that we will go and do and say and be as you would have us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he shall reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This story, to give a little context, a little perspective, as Peter says this thing, as Peter pulls Jesus aside to tell him, "There's another way, Lord, that I have for you. There's a better way. Your way, there must be something wrong. You must have made a mistake." As Peter, this word says, rebuked Jesus. If we ever doubt the brash side of Peter, just think of yourselves pulling Jesus aside in order to rebuke him. But I want to think back. It would have been a couple of years before this, beginning of this book, beginning of the other Gospels as well, when Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. And at the end of that temptation, do you remember what he said to Satan? He said, "Away from me. Get away." And remember what the Gospel of Luke tells us, that Satan left him until a more opportune time. I think Satan was crouching and waiting at this moment when Jesus revealed his plan. And Satan sprung out and caused Peter to act and Peter to talk. Something trying to diffuse this plan of Jesus. And this came just after Peter had done what? If we look back a few verses, we get Peter saying that he knows that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So there has been a full recognition here by Peter of who Jesus is. And yet here in this moment, he's telling the Son of the living God that he's wrong. It is possible to speak the word of God in one moment and to be moved by the enemy in the next. That's why we have to keep our guards up. Have to rely on the Holy Spirit to be working with us. So Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." And there's much debate who Jesus was talking to here. Was he actually talking to Satan? Was he talking to Peter and kind of mocking him by using him that name? Was it a real kind of a slam on Peter? Some people have suggested that maybe Peter was possessed. That's not the case, for Romans tells us what? Life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor demons can separate us from the love of Christ. So he wasn't possessed, but I think he was being manipulated by the enemy. So I think Jesus was doing some of both. I think he was telling Peter, you're acting in a way that would please the enemy, not please the Father. But I think he was also saying to Satan, as he did on the mountain, away from me. Get away from me. You're after men. See, one way to look at this is if he's talking to Peter saying, you've got an earthly mind, you're thinking in the flesh, you're not thinking from a heavenly sense like my Father would. But also if he's talking to Satan, and I think again, both at the same time, he's saying, you're after these people. But I'm with my Father. I think he was laying down a gauntlet here in a battle that Satan was already determined to lose. But I want to focus this morning mostly on what Jesus said we have to do if we want to come after him. He tells us he's going to come again with his angels, and he's going to get those who have actively followed him. And he's saying, if you want to be part of that, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I want to just move in those words for a few minutes. To deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. See, when we say that, that's one way to look at that is like saying, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be who you want me to be. But each part of this phrase puts a different emphasis on that phrase. See, when he says he must deny himself, that's like us saying, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go. I will. I'll say, I'll do, I will. I'm part of that. I will do it. I'll deny myself. I will go. If say we take up our cross, then we're kind of emphasizing the going and doing the same. I'll go. I'll do. I'll say. I'll be. But there's three parts required here. To deny yourself. To take up your cross. And to follow him. And that's where the emphasis becomes, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. And Lord, I will be what you want me to be. All three of these are vital. But bringing all three together. See, Peter was ready to go, right? I'll go. Me. It's me, and I'm going. But not here. No, no. Surely not, Lord. Surely not. Never. This will never happen to you. Not knowing what we know, Peter's words don't sound particularly offensive. Not knowing what we know. Someone's going to kill Jesus? Peter's saying, no. I'll stand between them. I'll defend him. I'll do what it takes. But no matter how good it sounds to human ears, when we are rebuking Jesus, and any time we put our plans ahead of his, that's what we're doing. That's offensive to the Lord. This plan had to take place. It had to go as God directed it to go. So if Peter, doing the thing that he thought was good in his own mind, in his own wisdom, using his own experience, if he had succeeded doing what sounded good in the moment, and there's no way he could have succeeded, but let's just, in our imagination, go there for a minute. If he had succeeded in defending Christ against the ruling elders and against the Romans, where would you and I be today? We have to be willing to submit ourselves to the authority that is Christ Jesus. And Peter learned this. You can just scan through the book of 1 Peter and you can see what Peter learned when he talks about the necessity of the blood of the Lamb ordained from the beginning of the world. That's what he says. Ordained from the beginning of the world that this would happen. Peter came to understand. And he also goes to say, as Jesus suffered, he suffered as an example for you to follow. Do you wonder where he got that from? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Peter learned that, and then he taught that, and then he did that, and he lived it, and he died it. As Peter himself was taken to a cross and crucified for the sake of Jesus Christ. We can narrow these words down just a little further. Deny, take up his cross, and follow me. We must deny ourselves because in order to save ourselves, we must give ourselves up. The scripture is full of this language. In our own doing, in our own strength, we're doomed to death. And it was interesting. I had a conversation with a gentleman about 2 weeks ago. How often people stay in bad situations because they're afraid to make that change, to hold on to what they know and let it kill them. Maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually, but to hold on to what they know because the change is sometimes seems so difficult. So uncomfortable, but really it's Jesus just holding his hand out saying, I'm here. I'm here. Just step to me. So we must deny ourselves in order to accept Jesus. But when we do that, then we really find ourselves. Then we must take up our cross. We have to bend down and place it on our own shoulders and stand up, bearing its weight, and move forward. God will not place it upon us. We can't place it on our children. We can't place it on our parents. We can't place it on our loved ones. We can offer, we can talk, we can share, we can encourage, but ultimately each person must bend down, take their own cross on their shoulders. Their cross. Jesus says each person must take his cross. Jesus' cross, the physical cross, took him to death. But he was talking in a spiritual manner here as well, not just the wooden beam that he would carry on his shoulders, but that which he had to bear in order to glorify God. That included, of course, the physical cross, but also the weight of the sin of the world. This was Jesus' cross to bear. And each of us has a cross that we must take that's not the cross of Christ. Each person must take his own cross, and it may look different than someone else's cross. What you are called to do in order to glorify God is what you must do. And it doesn't lead to Roman execution anymore. But it leads to the glorification of God. And it is very specific for each person. Salvation is something that we all can receive. And I don't want to use the term generic because salvation is anything but that. But it kind of looks the same for each person. But then to follow Jesus has a very specific route, a specific plan for each person. And depending on when you take that gift from God, it may change what that path would have looked like. But once you take it upon your shoulders, God has a call on your life that is specific for you. So we can look at other people and we can see how they respond to difficulties, and we can be encouraged by the acts of the martyrs and other saints and by missionaries. We can be encouraged by what they do, but we're not to copy what they do. Our only copying is of Jesus. Yes, learn from, be encouraged by others. But Jesus has something for you, your cross. And then we must follow Him. If we want to be where Jesus is, we have to follow Jesus. We have to do what He tells us to do and say what He tells us to say. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you won't get the response you'd hoped for or the response you were sure you were going to get. Doesn't matter. What matters is that we're obedient. That we're following Jesus. We've all sung the song, "I have decided to follow Jesus," right? We've all sung that song. But are we right behind Him? Close enough to touch the hem of His garment? Are we there? Do we know when He says to turn left or right? Do we know when He says stop and listen? Do we know when He says speak to them? Are we that close? We hear so much, TV, magazines, newspapers, whatever, about having balance in our lives. Right? The right amount of rest, the right amount of exercise, the right amount of work, the right amount of vacation time, all these things. We hear about balance. And that's a good thing in every area of your life except Christ. There's no balance. Taking up your cross and following it is about being all in. You know, my kids, all different levels, were involved with sports, and you know, I'm a sports guy. I like sports, and I wanted them to do well and to go to all the practice and do that thing, but you know, you wanted to maintain that balance also because there was schoolwork to do. There was, you know, other life with other friends, being kids. You know, there is importance there in that balance. And there are the people that work too hard and never take any time with their families. And there's people that take too much time at home and don't go to work. And so, in everything else, it is important that we find balance. But the only way to find balance, true balance, in all the areas of our lives is to be all in for Jesus. You know, it's not taking up your cross until noon. I'll come back and get it next Sunday. It's not following when we feel like it. It's in every living, breathing moment that we have. It's in everything that we do. It's in every relationship we have. When Jesus said that stuff about hating your family, what He was saying was, turn fully to Me. You'll never love them like you could love them until you get all of Me that you can get. Then you'll see the love that you can have for your family. There's no balance for life in Christ. It's all in. Taking up the cross is serious business. It's dying to self. As Randy and I have had the discussion many times, grace is free, but it's not cheap. God offers it, but there is a cost. And the cost is us. But as we can see, as I talk to the kids, as we know, as adults, right, we know the importance of them going to school. And this is a very, very small little example, but we know, so we insist that they do what they do in order that they can become who they need to become in that sense. So we have to know for ourselves that we have to put ourselves into this. We have to throw ourselves into it. I'm not talking about church work here. Please, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about spending all your time at Three Stones Church. Never saying that. Matter of fact, I hope our church is such that everything we do for the Lord gets out and goes somewhere else and does stuff. In His name, not in our name, in His name. But hear Jesus. Whoever would follow me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Be close enough as you follow him. Be close enough to know every movement of his head, every direction of his hand. Be close enough to reach out and touch. Part of the reason we use oil to anoint and to represent the Holy Spirit is because if you put some water on your hand and you do this, it just kind of runs off. But when you use oil, nothing gets between that oil and your skin. And this is the way the Holy Spirit is. It's a full-time thing. When he is in you and working with you, he doesn't ever depart. Sometimes more evident than others. Sometimes comes upon you in a different way, but never leaving. So I want you to pick something for this week. Pick a person in your life or a place that you're going to be going regularly or a thing that you do and dedicate it to Jesus this week. Take a moment and think about that. You might say that every time I speak to my son, I'm going to dedicate that time to Jesus. Or every time I drop them off at school, or every time I walk through the door at work, or every time I start my car. Get something right now in your mind. Say, I'm going to dedicate that moment to Jesus. Now, that moment's not enough, but let that be a start. And see what it's like in an unexpected moment to think about Jesus. And then follow. See where he takes you. Gracious God, take us. May we all take up our crosses. Whatever you have for us to do, may we see it clearly. May we do it well. May we do it to your honor and glory. May we do it or say it or be it or go to that place, whether it's fun or whether it isn't. May we go and do and say whether we think it will be successful or not. May we go and do and say, regardless of the cost. Because we know. I know. And every person in this room right now can say this right now. They can say, Lord, I know that you looked at me and you considered me worth the cost. Amen.